So this morning, this service and then our 10:45 service, both of them are going to be a little shorter than normal, a little bit more abbreviated. We've done that in the past couple of weeks as well. But yeah, you should be sorry, Darren. They're going to be a little bit more abbreviated just because, number one, we're outside, and so the distractions can come at you from all sides, but mainly that side. So if you hear like a Harley go by or some truck that is due for the emissions testing and it's just just consider that kind of an atmospheric amen to whatever I was just saying. So let God use that to pay attention, for you to pay attention. But this morning, what we're going to be doing is talking about God's promises. Specifically, when it comes to God and his people, God is in a habit of making covenants with God's people. A covenant is like a contract, but instead of if you break one side of the contract, I'm not going to keep up my end of the bargain, or if you don't perform, I'm going to change the terms of the contract, a covenant is much deeper than that. In fact, you might in your life have come across a time where you've come across a time where people have broken a promise to you, or maybe you've broken a promise. There's an old song from the late 80s, Promises, Promises. You knew you'd never, it's this broken-hearted, pleading, angsty sort of song. But what are some promises that people commonly break? What are some promises that people commonly break? Plans to be somewhere, go somewhere. What's that? Plans to love you. Yeah, promises to love you. To pay somebody back. Oh, yeah. I had this buddy in college, right? We'd all go out to lunch or dinner, and then it was time to pay, and it was very strange. When he could sense, he had radar, whenever the server was going to come and bring the check, right before he would go to the bathroom, and we wouldn't see him for a while until we called him, well, I got to change his name, Slow Wallet Harry. How about that? Yeah, like, oh, I'll get it. No. Oh, you sure? Yeah. What are some other promises real quick? Oh, keeping secrets? Yeah, like, oh, I promise I won't tell anyone. Did you hear? Oh, we really need to pray for Heidi because... Now, this is just between us. This is between us and God, right? And Facebook. Yeah. How about certainly you'll have full access to the building on October 15th, right? That's just a hypothetical. How about this one? I wrote this one down. I have read and agree to these terms and conditions. Click agree. You've all promised to read all of those things when you install apps and whatnot. Well, God has throughout history made covenants with his people, with man. In fact, God said to Noah in Genesis 9:11, I establish my covenant with you, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said to Abraham later in Genesis 17:2, I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations, he says, going on in verse 4. And then God said to Moses, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as have not been wrought in all the earth. That's in Exodus 34, verse 10. And then God says to David, young King David, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your descendants forever. I will build your throne for all generations. That's Psalm 89, verses 3 and 4. And then lastly, And this is one of the core texts for this morning. The prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 33, God says through the prophet, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God never broke any one of those promises, and he will never break any of those promises. And that's the first point this morning. If you're following along with your notes, we do a little fill in the blank for you, and that is that God keeps his promises even if we break them. And the nation of Israel, God's people throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, repeatedly broke their covenant with God, and God was still faithful. But God had a better covenant in mind for God's people. The prophets in the Old Testament alluded to this better and new covenant. But God needed a mediator for us as sinful people, as people that never keep their promises, that never keep their covenant with God. He needed a mediator, someone to stand on our behalf for the covenant. It's like having a class project. How many of you remember, maybe for me, way back when you had a class project or you had lab partners? I do that in quotes because I would just sit there and cut up with the smart guy in class, and he would do all the work, and I would catch on enough so that he could carry me. It was like footprints in the sand, and it was his footprints for my C+. I brought the curve down. But maybe you've had a situation where you've had a group of people, and there were a bunch of lazy people in your group, and you had to carry them. And then the boss or the teacher goes, "Well done, team." And they're like, "Yes. Oh, you're welcome, boss." And you're like, "I carried you fools." Well, in this story, in the story of the earth and God and his people, we're the fools. And the one that carries us in this new covenant is Jesus. And the second point in your notes is that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant between God and his people, the church. You see, God didn't create a new covenant that covers all of mankind just with you, or with you, or with you, or with me. It was for his people, his church, the people that he is going to call to himself. And we read about that in the New Testament, and not coincidentally in the book of Hebrews, the book where one of God's disciples is, one of Jesus' disciples is writing to Jews that understand the history of the covenant with man, the covenant with Abraham and Noah and Moses. And so this writing is for people that understand the old covenant to talk about the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, read this way. "Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man." I'm going to hit pause. What he's talking about is that the Jews used to set up a tent, and a high priest was the only one that was allowed into the tent to be an intermediary between God and his people. And the priest would have to cleanse and wash himself and be clean to go into the presence of God. And yet now we're hearing about this tent set up by God, not man. And this high priest is not just one of us, but is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And the scripture goes on that says, "For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and a shadow of heavenly things. What the disciple is writing about here is that all of the priests of the Old Testament, the tent that was set up, the Holy of Holies, was a shadow, a copy of the true version. In fact, Adam, Noah, Moses, King David, they all were a copy, a shadow of a true king, a true savior that was to come. And I bet you know what his name is. But wait, don't spoil it for everybody. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises." You see, the main difference between these are my words, we're out of scripture now. The main difference between the old covenant with Israel and the new covenant is that this new covenant, in the new covenant, God not only sets an expectation of faith and obedience, because that's what the old covenant did. God set an expectation of faith and obedience. This is what it means to be faithful. This is what it means to be obedient. And if you do these things, I will multiply you, I will bless you, I will grow your kingdom, if. So he set the expectations of faith and obedience. That's the old covenant. But the new covenant, he promises, get this, to create the faith and obedience in us. That's the difference between the old covenants of the Old Testament and the new covenant, which Jesus is the mediator, that God creates the faith that we need. God creates the obedience we need. So it's no more of at Men of Meat, a monthly gathering that I do with men that want to get up early in the morning one day a month and come here at the church and meet. We talk about old men of meat, dead guys that the Word of God, the meat of God's Word, change their lives and change the world because of that transformation that was created in them. And yesterday morning we met and we talked about Martin Luther, who not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther, who 500 years ago this past Halloween nailed a bunch of complaints, propositions, theses to a church door in what is now Wittenberg, Germany, challenging the Pope, challenging the global church that was headquartered in Rome. And one of the things that he challenged was that we don't need the Pope, we don't need a priest or a pastor or a minister to be an intermediary for us, because Jesus is our mediator. We are a royal priesthood, every one of us as believers. And so this new covenant of God creating in us the not just the expectations, but the fulfillment of faith and obedience is actually repeated in the Old Testament through another prophet. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 27, it says, and this is God speaking, and I will put my spirit within you. Now, this is mind-blowing to the Jews of the day, because the Holy Spirit was something that would come down and rest upon you, and then it could be taken away, on and away, on and away. But this scripture says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That was a prophecy of the new covenant that Jesus is the mediator of. You see, there are plenty of people within, well, we might wish that there were more, but there are plenty of people within our communities that think that if they live the right way, if they do the right things, if they are just good enough, like 51% good, 49% bad, if I've got his license plate, we could look him up. No, there was a gentleman in a pickup truck yesterday, right before Men of Meat, that we saw speed out of the parking lot, and in the back of his truck were a stack of yellow cones that looked suspiciously like the ones that are lining our parking lot, the ones that the Mount Juliet Police Department stencil MJPD on the side of, and that we used for our Halloween event and then our Candy Cruise Inn, where we had a drive-through trick-or-treating here. And the police department said, just stack them at the side of the buildings by the porta-potties, also available for the adventurous. But they were stacked there. And so Neil Hamby, our director of operations, and I walk over, and he helped stack them. And he goes, I think he took some of those cones. And so we went, and we had our men of meat, and then we came back, and we were eyeballing how we were going to set everything up here. And we see the guy in the pickup truck pull in, race in, and I'm like, I think he's coming back for a double dip. You know, he's feeling confident. But actually, he came back, and he was putting them back. And I would love to say that he felt convicted, but when I said, hey, what's going on? And he's like, I'm just putting these cones back. I just needed them for a second. So he wasn't convicted. He was done with them. But that was honorable to him. He brought them back, right? He was in a pinch. He needed. There was a flash rain that morning, and he was setting something up, and he didn't have enough. And he saw those cones. It was like a sign from God, and they're hard to ignore. They're neon, right? We live in a world that says that that's allowed. We live in a world that says, well, I didn't mean to hurt anybody. What's it going to hurt? And then we don't like to deal with the consequences. But the old covenant said, you're going to pay for the consequences. The new covenant says, someone has already paid your debt. Someone has already not only caused you to realize what faith entails and what obedience entails, but someone that if you surrender to this mediator, Jesus, the Son of God, who lived a sinless life, a perfect life, was crucified and killed on a cross for our sins and was raised from the dead because death can only hold the guilty. Because he was our sacrifice, because he's our mediator, God's covenant, his new covenant, isn't broken with us if we surrender to him. And then Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, the Spirit, as it says in Ezekiel, that indwells us, that gives us the power to have faith and to obey. You see, Martin Luther understood this. In fact, Martin Luther loved reason. When he had a love-hate relationship, some historians say, with Aristotle, the great philosopher, because Aristotle was all of his philosophy was based on reason. But what Luther said 500 years ago was reason is good for relating to man, the things of man. But no one can reason someone to faith in God because God is unfathomable. His attributes, his nature is immeasurable. His character is infinitely He's infinitely loving, he's infinitely holy, he's infinitely just. And so we need a mediator to understand. We need someone to cover our shortcomings, our failings, our missing the mark. And so this new covenant that we live under, you might be asking the question, how do I live this out? If I can't reason myself to God, if I can't reason other people to God, what is the benefit of the new covenant to me outside of just myself? Because you said earlier, Michael, that this new covenant isn't between God and me. It's between God and the people of God, the church. So how, this is the third point, how can we model this covenant? Well, we can do it in two practical ways. And today, we're only going to cover the first one. And so you're not, for those of you that hate things left undone, you're OCD, or you read the back page of the book first to know how it ends, to know if it's worthy of, like, I used to, like, record I used to not record football games because you got to watch it live. And then I got a life where I can't sit in front of the TV. And so I'd record the games, but I'd try and now, like last night, my Oregon Ducks played at 9 o'clock at night. And so I watched them against the nationally ranked Washington Huskies. An arch enemy of the duck is the dog, right? So the Ducks marched right down on the Huskies' home field and stalled right before the end zone and kicked a field goal like a hot knife through butter. I'm like, this is great. But I've got an early morning, so I'm going to go to bed. And so I recorded the game, and then I woke up this morning, and I used to have just not what. So I checked the score before endeavoring to schedule my day to watch the game later to see if it was worth watching, right? The game was 38-3. So I saw the only points the Ducks scored. So praise God for unwasted time. But so for those of us that struggle with those fill-in-the-blanks being unfilled, I apologize, but we'll fill it in next week. So let's go with the first one. We can model this covenant in two practical ways. Here's this week's. For all of us, we can model this through being a member of a local body of believers. Because the covenant, this new covenant that God makes is with his people, with the church. There's a model, there's a word picture within Scripture, within the New Testament of Christ being the groom and the church being the bride. Not individual believers, but the church. Yes, the universal church, but also the local body, the local church as a part of the universal church. And so when we come to Christ, well, before we come to Christ, it's like this. I've got visuals. Okay, so this is a piece of, what, do I need some help? Yeah, do you want to be my Vanna White, Kaylee? Awesome. All right, so Kaylee Sable is going to hold this. All right, no splinters, please. This is a piece of barn wood, okay? Is Ed Stinson here? No, Ed Stinson donated this barn wood. This is the same batch of barn wood that's above the cafes. The barn wood above the cafe stations in there looks nicer, right? This is right out of the barn, pried out. It's decades old. It's dirty. Smell it, Kaylee. Smell it. Come on, smell it. Smell the board. Child abuse, I'm sorry. So I'll do it. Yeah, it doesn't smell good. So this is us. This is us before Christ. Some of you have lived lives and you're worn down. You might be old. You might be old on the outside. You might be old on the inside for what the life that you've seen. You've got some rot or some termite damage. You've got splitting. The last relationship you were in with a barn, it tore you up to separate yourself from that relationship, right? So that's us before Christ, Jesus as our mediator. And then, where's my next Vanna? Or Vanno? Come on, Gimpy.
Oh, okay.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, so Jacob is holding a same piece of barn wood from the same barn. Huh?
It doesn't smell.
It doesn't smell. Do you know why it doesn't smell? Does it look the same as the other one?
No, you pressure washed it.
I pressure washed it. That's right. This board is the same as this board, except for this board is clean. It's been washed. And that's what our life is when we come to Christ, when we surrender our life to Jesus. We are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And you're saying, well, it's not quite new. But we're supernaturally through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit's indwelling, we're new. We're washed, and then we even go through the ordinance of baptism to symbolize that washing, that death, and that new life. But this is just a stripped down board. If I expose this to like the cafe and some of you that are just klutzes, you know who you are, and you throw water on the wall and stuff like that, this is still going to be a problem because we're not finished with it. So I got this one. It's smaller. So this is a piece of the same barnwood. It's been pressure washed. It's been cleaned, but it's also been stained. It's been preserved. And the other thing is it's been cut down a bit too. It's not as long. And sometimes in this new covenant that Jesus asks us to join as a part of the church, sometimes we get trimmed down. And we want our life to be the exact same. We just want to be clean. But sometimes God has different plans for us, a different purpose for us. And so that's why on those walls in there and in the near future on the back wall of our stage in the main auditorium, we're going to have, you want to smell this?
Good.
It smells like stain.
Wouldn't you?
It's like sniffing glue. There you go.
Wait,
So on that back wall of the stage, we're going to invite, now here's the back of it. This is unstained, washed but unstained. And this is stained. It looks different. It's got a little bit of a gloss to it if you shine light on it. But what we're going to do is we're going to take all this barnwood, and I, as your pastor, have already pressure washed it. It's all clean. It doesn't smell, right? But we're going to apply some stain, and on the back of the board, if you want to be a part of this church, Friendship Community Church, if you want to be in covenant, in a covenant relationship with our church, you're going to get a chunk of barnwood where you can write your names on the back, and you can write a favorite scripture reference on the back or a prayer on the back. And then what we're going to do is, how are we doing? We're going to, I'm going to cut some of these pieces down, and we're going to mount them on that back wall like a mosaic of old that has been washed and made new in Christ. So if you have your designs on a 12-foot board, we're going to cut that down. Because just like in life, in the life of the church, you might have talents that you want to use, but God might want to trim those talents down and make you like that. This is, if you say, I never want to be cut down, I always want to be this length, that's a statement of pride, right? And we've talked about that God wants us to come to him humble. We either come humble or he humbles ourselves. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Humility is inevitable. So that is something that we're going to be doing in the next couple weeks, is offering you a chance to join us in a covenant relationship with Friendship Community Church, where you say, I lived this life. I've surrendered my life to Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. I've been washed by his blood, and I've been baptized. And if you haven't been baptized, we can handle that too. And then that's not enough. I don't want to be about my individualness. I want to be about the collective. I want to be about the organism of the church and whatever the church needs. My time, my talent, my treasure. I want to be a part of this. I don't want to be a big deal. I want to be a part of something big. And that's what that big back wall is going to be for us. So number two is going to be next week. And I'll go ahead and let you fill in the blank, okay? Because you have been obsessing. And if, students, if you want to gently lay those down and not hit anybody in the head, yes? So the second point that you can fill in, and then we're going to close, is this. Not on the stairs, Kit. Thank you, Jacob. So point number two, the first one was for all. For some, this is the second point. For some, you can model this new covenant in a practical way through marriage. Through marriage. Marriage is a picture. That was loud. Marriage is a picture of a covenant relationship, the covenant of marriage. So next week, we're going to be talking about marriage. We're going to be talking about, and I notice I said for some, because God doesn't call everyone to marriage, or God calls people out of marriages sometimes through death, through other heartbreaking circumstances. So next week, we're going to talk about that, and we've got a special treat where a couple is going to recommit their marriage to Christ through the church. And so you won't want to miss it. But if you're struggling in your marriage, if you're feeling like your marriage is one-sided, if that's all you've lived through and you've survived a marriage and you're out on the other side and you've got wounds, you've got rot, you've got splits and splinters, come next week. If you know someone that needs that, needs to hear that message, come next week. And I may have some chunks of wood for you to take home with you and to bring back and we'll be praying over them. So with that, let me close our time in prayer, and I want to invite our worship team to come back up as well. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessing of the lesson of covenant. Father, when we think about all of your faithfulness throughout history with God's people, how you didn't break any one of your promises, but over and over again, your people fell short. All along, you had a better covenant waiting. That Adam was a less than perfect savior, that Abraham was a less than perfect father, that Moses was a less imperfect father and savior, that Noah was a less and less perfect savior. And they were all foreshadowings, all archetypes of Christ that you gave to your prophets, to Isaiah, to Jeremiah, to Ezekiel. Father, thank you for this new covenant that we have a mediator, an intermediary, a high priest, a perfect one, a loving one. Father, we pray for Friendship Community Church, this body of believers that can enter into a covenant with each other to be a part of your universal church. Father, we so often see our faith as individual and personal and our personal relationship with Jesus, but Father, help us to be part of the bride of Christ, your church. Be with us this day, and let this church be a beacon, a blessing to the communities around us and to the people passing by this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.